This podcast is a ministry of Christian Life Center in Berwyn, Illinois. Our goal is to develop real faith for the real world. For more information, please go to www.berwynag.org.
Our text today is 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14. So if you have that, your Bible there, we'll give a little background. The Apostle Paul has had to move on from the city of Ephesus, and so he has left behind Timothy. Timothy is in training. He is an apprentice, and he is maybe an apostle in apprenticeship, or a pastor, at least a pastor in apprenticeship. And so he's been left there to deal with some of the issues that are there in the Ephesian church. The letter that we are reading is different from a lot of epistles because it is written to an individual, whereas the book of Colossians is written to the people at Colossae. It's written to an area or a group of people. The book of Hebrews is written to a whole group of people, but this book is written to an individual. It's written to Timothy. And so often we kind of glaze over that. We don't really pay attention. Timothy has been left there, and he is doing God's work. He's in a place where God has for him, but he may feel a little bit abandoned by Paul because Paul left him there to deal with a lot of problems. How many of you, even in the middle of doing what God has asked you to do, you felt maybe a little abandoned somewhere along life's merry way, right in the middle of that? And so Paul writes to Timothy and says to him, he calls him my true son in the faith. And so what Paul is saying when he says those powerful words, those are strong words of encouragement to Timothy, saying, you still got it, kid. I believe in you. I believe in the stuff that's going on in your life. I believe that you have the same stuff that's in the old man, the old Paul. I believe you can do this work. And so he tells him. Now, Timothy is up to his eyeballs in problems. He has false teachers. He has people in rebellion. He has backsliders there in his church. He has people who are causing trouble, women who don't wear enough clothes to church. He has all kinds of things, and Paul leaves him in this thing and to deal with all these questions of modesty and propriety and doctrine. And so Timothy is overwhelmed. Timothy's personality is a little bit timid, and so Paul would write to him at a later time, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and a sound mind. And so in this passage of Scripture, Paul is addressing Timothy as he's speaking to him about preaching and teaching, which is one of his jobs. So preaching and teaching is one of the jobs that Timothy will have to do. And so he is speaking to him about one of the keys of success. This is key for your success in ministry, and quite frankly, anywhere. Because God has placed on the inside of you and on the inside of me a gift, something that he wants to actuate, something that he wants to use on the inside of you that will be used to glorify him all throughout the world, glorify him all throughout your world anyway, and he wants to bless you. And so 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14 says, do not neglect your gift, which was given you through a prophetic message when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through a prophetic message when the body of elders laid their hands on you. I have wasted so much of my life. How many of you can identify with the words of the country song, wasted days and wasted nights? Yes, wasted so much of my life. So much of our life is spent and wasted. And when we waste time, we call it killing time, don't we? And the reason is because time cannot be resurrected, right? Once that is gone, the only cure for deeds done in the past, you cannot relive that. You can't make it up. You can't relive. You can only be forgiven for it and then move forward from there, right? So if you're, this morning, I want to tell you, if you're carrying around a lot of baggage from your past, find forgiveness in Jesus. Ask him for forgiveness. He'll forgive you. And then cut the strings and move forward. In fact, the Greek word for forgiveness, aphiemi, is the word that they would use when they would cut the line on the deck when a ship was tied to the mooring. They would cut that line and set it adrift. That's what God wants to do. He wants to take all your sins, all your junk, cut that line, and set it adrift so that you can move forward with your life, so you don't have to carry that baggage around with you the rest of your life. That's what he wants to do. What a beautiful symbol of what God wants to do. So Paul writes to Timothy and says, do not neglect your gift. Someone has said, and I'm not sure who said this, I looked this week, I couldn't find it. Someone has said, there is nothing more common than wasted talent. There is nothing more common than wasted talent. Unused talent is all over the place. In fact, the one person I could find who said something like this was Calvin Coolidge, who said, nothing in this world can take the place of persistence. Talent will not. Nothing is more common than unsuccessful people with talent. Genius will not, because unrewarded genius is almost a proverb. Education will not, because the world is full of educated derelicts. Persistence and determination alone are omnipotent. Certainly, we don't believe persistence and determination are the only things that you need. You must have talent, but there has to be something woven together. Now, I'm going to go on a dangerous limb here this morning. I'm going to tell you something that I believe. I believe that in Chicago, we had the greatest point guard that ever lived, not just in our lifetime, but in the history of mankind. I believe we had the greatest, if you need to know his name, just look at your neighbor, because I am sure they know his name. In fact, you don't even have to say his name, just stick your tongue out the side of your mouth, and you will know who we are talking about. Michael Jordan was the greatest point guard in the history of the NBA, in the history of mankind. And yet I believe that there is someone with greater talent than Michael Jordan as a point guard. There's a better point guard out there. I believe it. There's a better point guard out there. I believe that he had the talent. He had the gift to surpass Michael Jordan. But, something stopped him. Perhaps it was because he neglected the gift that was within him. You see, there are people who are aligned against you. People who don't want you to succeed. The devil doesn't want you to succeed. Some people in the world don't want you to succeed. There are even people, God forbid, in your family who may like you to be down just a little bit low so you don't get a big head about yourself, right? So there are people who want you to not succeed. There are things that you need to do to make the gift within you truly get cranking, and so that it can do the things that God wants that gift to do on the inside of you. And so you have to have the ability to believe the gift. When I was in prayer, God said to me when I was in Bible college, I went to Bible college for 1 year. My determination was I was going to learn as much Bible as I could in 1 year, go back and be a deacon and teach in my Sunday school in my home church. That was my goal, my sole goal in life. Did not want to be a preacher. Didn't have any desire to do that. My hair was down to here. I was a hippie. My idea was to be Bible teacher in a local church. God spoke to me and said, I want you to be a pastor. And now, fortunately, I didn't realize all that involved, so I was ignorant, so I said, okay. And so if I had to believe that I was going to do something with that gift. I had to believe that that gift was resident within me. I had to believe that there was an ability to do something. See, this guy who has the greater point guard talent than Michael Jordan, he may not have believed that he in himself. He may not have believed that the gift that had been given to him, it was something that he could use. This guy, I'm not talking about, I know some of you are thinking, he's talking about himself. I'm not talking about me. I can't play ball. You know, I don't do that. I don't know who this guy is, but I just believe he's out there. This guy, I know it's dangerous to say that in Chicago, but I just believe there's a guy who's better than him who didn't believe in the gift that was on the inside of him. Maybe he laid down because it's hard to excel. When you have a gift on the inside of you, it doesn't mean that it automatically comes easy for you. You have to persevere. You have to apply yourself. You have to work at that gift to make it to come to pass. And so you have to believe in that gift that's on the inside of you. Maybe the victim on the inside of that brother told him, hey, just lay down. This is hard. This is difficult. you know, you have economic disadvantage, or you have people who are hindering you or whatever. And he just took upon himself the card of victim. You can't take upon yourself the card of victim if you're going to walk in the power of God, if you're going to be used in the gift that God has placed in you. He has asked you to persevere through hard times. Say it with me. Through hard times. Through hard times. We have to work our way through the hard times. Now, the blamer on the inside of me wants to say, oh, Lord, it's the wife that you gave me. It's my children. It's my economic status. It's the town that I live in. It's the fact that I'm white and I can't play basketball. Whatever it is. You know, I want to blame someone else for the stuff that's going on in my life. Rare is the person who knows that he has to believe and take this thing further. Rare is the person who recognizes that the gift is not enough. The talent is not enough. You have to develop that talent on the inside of you. Rare is the person that knows that you will have to face hell and high water, and still you have to come after it. You still have to go after it with all your heart. Perhaps this friend who has this hidden gift of playing basketball, perhaps he didn't have the drive to achieve. Perhaps he thought it was all going to come easy to him. Perhaps he fell prey to some of his habits. Perhaps he thought that it would all come to him if he was just meant to be. But God doesn't say that. God says, go out and make it happen. God doesn't say, even before the fall, God said, go out and tame the world. Go out and subdue the world. Look it up in Genesis. God didn't say, here, I give you the whole perfect world. He said, here, I give you a perfect spot on this world. Now go make the rest of the world perfect. That still is the command to us. With the gift that's in you, you are supposed to bring your gift, your maturity, your protection, your spiritual awareness, your healing, all the things that God has for you. God, you're supposed to bring that into the world out there. You see, it's time for the church to step up and grasp the high calling of Christ. The high calling. You see, we could come in here and sit on our fannies and look forward and listen to the Bible teaching and leave here unchanged. We can do that. Or we can recognize that God wants to use us and wants to create us as instruments and tools in His hand. If we will submit, as Paul said, our lives as instruments of righteousness, God can do an amazing thing through us. But we have to get a hold of this idea that, and we have to stop neglecting the gift that's been placed on the inside of us. Maybe he felt pressure, this guy with the gift. Maybe he felt pressure to go out and get a real job, something that'll really pay money. It could be that this guy is bussing tables somewhere in Union Station. It could be that he's parking cars in a garage downtown, and nobody knows that secretly on the inside of this guy that he's a baller. But he can play some ball. He can shoot. He has a jump shot, that this guy can jam the ball. It could be that he was born about that same time, and that his window of opportunity has passed because he's become old. Because I can tell you one thing, 54-year-old people cannot run back and forth up and down that basketball. I can tell you that with authority. It can't be done. There, opportunity is a window of opportunity. Do not neglect the gift that's been placed on the inside of you. Somewhere, this guy is out there. Somewhere, who knows it? Is it the guy who works with you? Who knows it? Maybe some of you are thinking, might be me. Who knows it? Who this guy is? Who sits next to this guy on the train? Who sits next to this guy? Who knows that they're living next door to this guy who has this great jump shot and is a great point guard? Who knows it? You see, the gift is neglected. The window has passed. And so other people weren't benefited by it. How much is it worth, that gift? In our world, it's worth millions and millions and millions. How much is it worth? Think of it. How much it's worth? It could be that this guy's pushing a broom someplace. Or maybe even sitting in some high corporate tower. But he's not satisfied because he never got to fulfill the dream that God dreamed over his life. He never got to do what God called him to do from the very get-go. Timothy, do not neglect your gift. Here's five reasons. Five reasons not to neglect your gift. The first one is, you will be frustrated because you aren't living in the sweet spot of God. If you neglect your gift, you will not find that sweet spot. The sweet spot is the place of your life where God's dream over you and your will have come together. It is not, does not mean it's the sweetest place in your life. It means it's where you sense that you have peace, where you recognize that God has something He's doing in you and that you can accomplish something in your life. And you are submitting to Him and you are doing the thing that God wants to do in your life. It could be that. The second thing is you will have limited success because you are wired specifically a certain way. So if you choose to live outside the area of the gift that God has implanted in you, then what will happen is your life will be frustrating because you will not get to the place where you can be fully successful. So you have limited success. I don't mean that you won't have any success because hard work and determination can accomplish a great deal. But you will be limited in your success. The third thing is you will be misunderstood by others, and you will misunderstand a lot of things in life. You'll be confused because you don't even understand you. The way you are, the way you live your life, the things that you're doing in your life, those things are important, and God wants to do those things. You know, people are still talking about Whitney Houston, and I think about that song, The Greatest Love of All, right? Learning to Love Yourself, right? My question is, why would we think that that is the greatest love? You see, because you and I, we will fail. We will fail in believing in ourselves. We will fail to accomplish the things that we will give up on ourselves. Have you ever given up on yourself? Yeah, I have. Algebra, that did it for me. Algebra, I just thought, I can't be done. I can't go any further than this. I just can't, you know. Three times I took algebra. The third time I took algebra, I just gave up the ghost. I just said, it can't be done, not with this brain. I'm working with limited capacity here to understand algebra. And frankly, I haven't had to use it at all ever in my life, so I haven't even missed it, to be quite honest with you. Don't tell the young people, we've dismissed them already, so it's safe. But I haven't ever used it. But the idea behind it is that I just could not get a hold of it. See, I miss. But if you don't apply, I give up on myself. I give up on myself. I don't think I'm too dumb to get algebra. I just think I just said no. I don't want to learn this anymore, and I quit on myself. The greatest love is not believing in me. The greatest love is not believing in yourself. The greatest love is believing in God and knowing that even when you give up on yourself, God never gives up on you. He'll say, no, get up and go do it again. Get up one more time. I still got one more time in you. You go back and take algebra for a fourth time. The greatest love is to believe that God has something greater for you. So you will be, you won't misunderstand, because you misunderstand yourself, you won't misunderstand a lot of things in life because you won't get how that's supposed to connect to you because you don't really understand you. Are you saying that God knows me better than I know myself? Absolutely. Absolutely. We just celebrated with this young child. God knows his whole future. God knows everything about him. God knows when it was the right time for him. As that was a testimony we heard this morning. God knows everything about him, and God loves him perfectly. So our desire is to match up and find the sweet spot of what God wants for our life and walk freely in it and know that in that place we have the will of God on our life and God's smile on our life. And sometimes when things aren't working, we still try to make them work. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, you ever do that? You know, you got that car, and you know it needs a new Knuten valve, and so there's no such thing as a Knuten valve. So, but you know your car needs something new, and you just determine you're gonna push it. You're gonna just keep going. It's chugging and sputtering, and you can tell it's not. This isn't right. But you're like, I'm gonna go. I'm driving this to work, right? And you're. And you're belching out smoke on the back of it. And you're just going to do it. You're just going to make it work. And you can make it work for a little while. But it's frustrating because the pickup, it's giddy up, it has got up and gone. That's what the problem. It has no, and things aren't just working the same way. And things aren't functioning the way they would. And that's how we go through life. We sometimes think, oh, God, you know, if I could just have it my way. But God says, if you will do it my way, you'll be having it your way. You know, I'll fix your Knuten valve. You know, I really will. God will do that. So the other thing is you'll be misunderstood by other people. Other people, if you are not functioning according to the gift that's on the inside of your heart, that what God has placed on the inside of you, then you will be misunderstood by people because they won't understand the way you are. You never notice how some people are real black and white, right? You know, you just ask them, is it right or is it wrong? And they don't go, Well, in certain circumstances, it could be right, or in certain circumstances, it could be wrong. They just say, it's wrong. Right? They just tell you straight up. They see life black and white. You know, there's some people that are just like that. That's wrong. Bless God, that's wrong. Always will be wrong. You know, and then there's other people who go, well, under certain circumstances, like lying. You know, I remember my kids, we had this big discussion about, is lying always wrong? Well, yes, lying is always wrong. Well, what if the Nazis are at your door and you have Jews in your basement? Okay, well, if you have Jews hiding in your basement and you're in Nazi Germany, then I suppose the life-saving thing, you know, so you go through those things, you know, and you're like, you know what I'm saying? So is what about Rahab when she lied? I mean, we got biblical examples. What about Rahab when she lied to save the spies? You know, so, okay. So you have different personalities. You see, people won't understand your personality if you're not walking in your gift. They'll just think you're weird, right? So the key is to find the gift and the personality that meet together. So let me tell you this. Your gift is not about you. You know, I know I just said that you'll find blessing, you'll be comfortable, you'll have, you know, probably get paid more because you're flowing in the area of your gifting. You'll probably find, you know, if you're a person who's a detail-oriented person, you don't want a job where you don't care. Think how frustrating that'll be, right? If you're detail-oriented and you don't care, and people don't care, that day will be boring for you. But if you're a detailed person, you want to get down into the nitty-gritty of everything, don't you? And so you have to find the area that you hit the groove with. Your gift is not about you, though. In other words, it's not just about how it's going to benefit your life. It's not just about what blessings will come back to you. When you find the gift that's in you, then, and you begin to operate according to that, things will flow back to you. But it's not just about that. You see, it's about the people around you. What happens when, if I as a father decide to fall away from God and I decide I'm going to go out and drink my life away? And I could say to you, hey, it's my life, I can do whatever I want to. But you and I both recognize that me being inebriated all the time does not just affect me. It affects you if I'm driving on the road when I'm with you. It also affects my children all around me. People in the family of an alcoholic are sometimes more affected than the alcoholic himself. And so we recognize there's difficulty. So for me to not use my gift means that it's going to affect the rest of my family. Would my children all be in ministry someplace if I didn't follow the Lord in ministry? Right? You see what I'm saying? What would happen? You see, when you are in the sweet spot, when you're living according to the gift that God's given and put on the inside of you, when you have that going on the inside of you, then blessing will come your way. But it's not just for you. It's for them. It's for the people who are around you. You may be blessed financially and spiritually and emotionally and relationally, be enriched in many, many ways, but it's not just about you because God has given this for more than you. In fact, we could excuse it if you didn't operate in the gift and it only affected you. But the fact is that God has given the gift so that it will affect other people around you. Now, if every person in here, under the sound of my voice today, operates in their gift, I receive a little piece of their blessed lives. It makes my life easier because you're doing ministry too. You're flowing in your gift. So maybe your gift is healing or intercessory prayer or maybe your gift is administration. I don't have to do as much of that because you're flowing in that. And I want, well, hang with me for just a second. And if Pete is doing, flowing in his gift, then you don't have to do as much either because you get a little piece of Pete, right? And Dave, right? And Diane, right? And Ben. We all get a chunk of each other's gifting as we're going. You think about that now. You're getting reward. You're reaping where you haven't sown. Right? You're getting blessings that are coming through the lives of people around you. And you didn't even invest in it. You're just receiving that. I mean, I can tell you many times I've been standing praying at the altar and somebody whose name I don't know would walk up and slip and put their hand on my shoulder, pray some prayer that blessed the socks off me and slipped out of there. I don't know who they are, but I bless their pastor, whoever taught them how to pray like that. I bless whatever worked in their life. I'm thankful that they're flowing in whatever gift that God has given them, that they're not neglecting the gift that's within them because they are not. See, if all I ever did was neglect the gift and it only hindered me, that would be one thing. It would be forgivable. But the unforgivable thing would be for me to neglect my gift and not be. And it would affect so many people in my life. And when we, all of us, every one of us, now your gift may not look like mine. You may not have to dress up like this. You may be a plumber. God can use plumbers. I'm right now planning on going to be to plumbing school. I'm not kidding. I'm going to plumbing school for a few days so I can learn how to repair water pumps. And maybe you want to go with me. If you want to go with me, come talk to me. We'll bunk together. That's great. But we could split a hotel room. That would save me some money. But we're going to go learn how to repair water pumps all around the world. All these water pumps that the UN puts in, two-thirds of them don't work. Some of them don't work because they don't have a plastic washer that costs 15 cents in. Because no one knows how to take them apart. So I'm going to go be the guy. I'm going to be the guy who knows how to take those things apart so that when I go on missions trips, I can say, I can fix that. I got a little washer here in my pocket that'll fix that. I mean, that's a powerful thing, right? Now, what does that tell you? That means you have to invest in the gift that comes in, implanted in you. It's going to cost me $400. So before you come up and get all excited, $400 is what it costs to go take the class. You know, so it's not cheap. It's not a cheap thing. The washer's cheap. The education, it costs an arm and a leg. But it's okay. We'll figure it out together. We can go. It'd be awesome to learn how to do it. Don't you? I can't wait to go back to Haiti and see those people who are living in cholera and all those problems. I can't wait to go back there and see the healing of those pumps heal the nation of people. For just $400. So, I'm sorry, I got excited about that. I can't remember what I was talking about. But the gift isn't for you. The gift isn't for you. It's my $400. I'm going to pay. I'll pay the $400. I got to get educated. I have to remember that stuff. Not the least of the problem there with the memory here. But I have to go do that. But more than that, it's for all the other people who will be touched by that. That's what the gift is for. So I want to say that the gift is not about you. But then I want to say the gift is all about you. Because the gift is your gift. You have it. I can't operate in your gift and you can't operate in my gift. So it's not about you, but it is about you because if you choose not to do it, then it's not going to happen. You say, well, won't God just raise up people out of the woods? They'll just, woods people that'll just come out and go, well, we're going to fulfill that. No, that's not how it happens. You are the only you God made. Somebody say, thank God. Thank God. Yeah, so we don't need more than one of us, right? You don't have a doppelganger somewhere walking around all ready to, you know, has all your mirrored giftings and everything. No, you are the one you that God made. So if you don't do it, it may not get done. There may be other people who can come in and tell them about Jesus if you don't tell them about Jesus. But God's still going to hold you accountable for whether or not you talk to him about Jesus. The question about it is the gift that God has placed in us, is it being neglected, or are we seeking after his will to make it happen in our life? See, it's not about you, but it is about you because you become the biggest stumbling block to your own success. That's what Paul is saying. Timothy, don't become a stumbling block to your own success by neglecting your gift. Flow in the gift that God has given you. How do we do that? Well, you deprive yourself, or maybe you abuse yourself, and you give yourself excuses. You can do, you know, I said in the early service, you know, if I eat moon pies, just sit around and eat moon pies all day long until I'm, you know, whatever, 900 pounds, and they have to come with a forklift to move me out of my house, then that is not God's will for my life. I mean, I don't know where the exact line is. My doctor will tell you it's lower than where it is, where my weight is now. But at some point, it's not God's will for me to be 900 pounds sitting around eating moon pies, right? That's less. I can't do what God wants me to do at that place. So I have to nurture the gift on the inside of me. You know, I'm not picking on fat people. I am one, so I can talk about that. The issue for us is whether or not we as people are going to honor what God has done in us. I get worried about the church because the church is waiting for Jesus to do it all. Jesus did it all on the cross. So, I mean, he does other miracles and stuff too. I get that. But he's not going to miraculously get you a job. You can't drop out of school in fourth grade and just know God's going to make me a CEO of a major corporation. No, it's not going to take that. You have to operate according. There are hurdles that you're going to have to jump through, stuff you're going to have to climb over, obstacles are going to be thrown in your way that you're going to have to overcome. Don't neglect the gift within you. But it's hard. Yes, but do it. But it's more than what I want to give. Just give it anyway. Find the strength in God. Lose a little sleep. Sleep one less hour a day. You can be amazed what you can do with one less hour of sleep. People, mothers have been raising children with one less hour of sleep for hundreds of thousands of years, right? Yeah. So with one less hour of sleep, you could deepen your education. You could meet the needs that you have to make in order to do that. So God wants to do that. I think about Paul Farmer, who's a doctor who went to Haiti. I'm reading his book right now, and he talks about. I've read another book by him, but this is a book about after the earthquake. But he talks about all the people who said you can't bring healthcare to Haiti. It's going to cost too much. It's inefficient. But he has a whole stream of network of places around there, even to the point that governments were saying, you can't do this. You know, this guy who eventually now is a well-known doctor, worked under Bill Clinton in the Human Services Department in Washington. He still, even now, he has to sneak into Haiti to do the work there. He sneaks in on private planes. I'm not sure. It must not be much of a secret now because he just wrote it in his book. But he sneaks in there on private planes. Why? Because there are people who are telling him, you can't do that. You can't do that. With your political connections, you can't go in there. And he said, I'm going to do what I'm going to do. I got to do what I have to do. I'm not going to neglect it. He's not a plumber. He's not a governor. He's not a politician. He's a doctor, and he has to doctor wherever he goes. So he's going to go be a doctor if he will do that. We have to have that same determination. How many of you ever heard of Ben Carson? Ben Carson? Oh, just man. Some of you need to read some books. Ben Carson, one of the most gifted pediatric neurosurgeons, an African American guy, must be probably maybe my age, maybe a little older. I'm not sure. Just a wonderful guy, at the apex of his career, really, right now, because he's teaching and doing all these surgeries and, you know, like dividing the twins that are attached, you know, and stuff like that. He does all those kinds of surgery. He's the real deal. And so they interviewed him recently, and they asked him a tremendous question. They asked him, what is your definition of success? Listen, I want you to listen to him. He's a believer. But listen to him as he describes what his definition of success is. God has given everyone at least one talent. Success is taking the talent or talents that God has given you and using all that to elevate other people. To elevate other people. It has nothing to do with houses, cars, bank accounts, and jewels. When all is said and done, all that other peripheral stuff means absolutely nothing, but what does mean something is the positive impact you have on the people around you. Has your life meant anything, or was it just a waste of everybody else's time and energy? It is important to move forward with perspective. If you have a small head, you're probably not going to amount to very much. If you have a big head, you're probably setting yourself up for a big fall. But if you view yourself as an instrument in God's hands, you'll accomplish a lot more than you ever thought you could. I love that. If you have a vision of yourself that says, I am an instrument that God can use. In other words, if you honor the gift that's on the inside of you, you will accomplish more than you ever thought you could. That's a powerful truth. Powerful truth. So what's your gift? What's your gift? Is it service? Is it administration? Is it prophecy? Is it tongues? But you say, well, people don't respect my gift. It doesn't make a difference. It's your gift. It's up to you to use it. We can't use your gift for you. You must use your gift. Timothy is there waiting on his gift. Paul says, don't neglect the gift that God placed in you. Final thing, recognize how the gift got there. God gave it to Timothy through the laying on of the hands by the elders. God imparted the gift into Timothy. God still does that today. When we lay hands on each other and pray for each other, God will reveal things in you that you didn't even know were there. Somebody else had to say, well, you know, I guess, Dave, you could make a pastor. If everyone would have thrown a wet blanket on me, then they wouldn't have ever received what they had, what God had for me, because everyone would talk me out of it. You see, we need some Barnabases. We need some encouragers. We need some sons of encouragement in this place that'll speak to people. We need to be praying for one another and doing body ministry and loving on each other and saying, listen, God has something in you that you don't see. People will say, oh, you know, I'm just a worrier. Well, you know what? That's probably the ministry of helps, that you worry. Oh, I'm just concerned about them. You probably just want to get up and do something for them, right? Don't you? Yeah, I really wish there was something I could get up. Well, then get up and do it. Don't neglect your gift. Worry is the perversion of the gift of helps. Oh, that was good preaching. Worry is the perversion of the gift of helps. Because when you are wanting to do something, you should get up and do it. When you have something that God has put on the inside of your heart, you need to go for it, baby. You need to get out there and do what you need to do. Put the pedal to the metal and get out there and go do the thing. Do your thing. It's your thing. Do what you want to do. I can't tell you. Never mind. What kind of a God is this? What kind of a God is this who puts gifts in the inside of the... I'm going to just give you a testimony. Can I give you a testimony? God is the kind of a God who turns takers into givers. People who all they ever thought about, what's in it for me, suddenly find themselves giving it all away. And God just replenishes that, and they find themselves as... It's perfect to be the conduit of God. I love to be the conduit of God's blessing. When God took me out of being a taker and turned me into being a giver to be able to bless Him and help other people, it's just one of the most blessed days of my life. God turns takers into givers. He turns self-seekers into God-seekers. He turns lifted, broken-hearted people into people that are healers. He takes cheating, lying, adulterers and makes them marriage counselors. He turns liars into truth-tellers. He turns young people who hate youth group into youth pastors. He takes the hard-hearted and breaks their heart for people. This is who God is. Where does that come from? That comes from us praying for one another, us being open, saying, God, give me what you give me. And all of a sudden, He gives you something. He's saying, children, I can't work with children. But God puts that in your heart. Suddenly now you're loving on kids. You didn't even like kids. You didn't even like it when you were a kid. But now suddenly you have a burden for children. God will give. Let it flow. Let it operate. Listen, you have to flow with the gift that God gives you. Can you trust God? Listen, He knows you better than you know yourself. If you'll dedicate your life, just like we did with little Mateo. See, Mateo can't do it for himself, so Mama and Daddy have to do it, but you and I are at the age where we have to do it ourselves. We have to give ourselves to living for Him. What is God looking for you from you today? He's looking for us to seek the greater gifts, to find the gift that's on the inside of us, to determine that we will, no matter what happens, we will operate in the gift that God has given to us. For some of us, that'll mean old dormant gifts that we got to stir back up. Paul said that later on to Timothy, stir up that gift that's within you. If you keep letting that thing go dormant, you're going to have to stir it up, you're going to have to wake it up, you're going to have to make it work. But get it right, let it rise up on the inside of you. Do that gift. For others, it'll mean we just have to surrender to the high calling of God. For others, it means we just have to pray until we understand what the gift is. But you have to know the gift. Do not neglect the gift that's within you. The gift that God gave you through the laying on of the hands of elders. Do not neglect. It is the key to your success, brothers and sisters. It is the key to our success as a church. It is the key to the success of your ministry, to your family, to your business. Do not neglect the gift within you. And don't be complacent and say, I've reached it. You know, on the way from where we are to what God has for us in the future, there is a stop sign every so often, and good enough is at every corner. Good enough is at every corner. And we start going through our life and things get a little bit difficult and we look back and go, wow, I've come a long way. This is good enough. But you'll never be what you once were or what God wanted you to be because you settled for good enough. Don't settle for good enough. Don't settle for good enough. Boy, I feel that really strong in my heart this morning. Don't settle for good enough. Stir up the gift on the inside of you. Stir up the gift on the inside of you. Do not neglect the gift. Actually, when Paul writes to Timothy, he says, do not neglect the gift. But the Greek really says, stop neglecting the gift. The accusation is, Timothy, you're doing stuff the wrong way. You should be doing it through your gifting. Can I pray for you this morning? Father, this morning I pray that you will find in us an open heart, ready to do your will. Teach us how to flow in the gift that you've put on the inside of us. It won't look the same. There'll be other people who don't understand us. There'll be people who judge us because we're operating in the gift that you've given to us. Other people who don't understand, who don't get it. But Lord, let us rise up. The thing that's a burden of our heart, let it burn on the inside of us, Lord God. If sometimes we feel like a freak because of it, Lord God, I pray that you would help us to recognize that you stood alone on the cross. And if it means that we have to stand alone, Lord God, we will stand alone and do the thing that you have for us, Lord. You've put a gift in us, Lord God. You've asked us to fulfill a lot of commands, Lord, but this is a gift that you put on the inside of us by the power of your Holy Spirit. Father, we can't do what you can do, but you have equipped us so that with you we can do what you have imagined and dreamed over our lives. Lord, fulfill the dream of God in our lives as we're obediently following this thing that you've put in our heart. Jesus, use us as we disperse from this place today. I pray that as we go every which direction, Lord God, we will remember those words that Ben Carson said, Lord God, that if we will think of ourselves as the instruments of God, then we will do more than we could ever imagine we could ever accomplish. Lord, let us be able to say, I'm done with sight walking and I'm moving on to faith walking. I'm done with small dreams and I'm holding on to your dream. Let us be able to say that we will not sit down and we will not give up and we will not surrender and we will not abandon ourselves to mediocrity, but we will rise up and pursue the gift that you have for our lives. We pray this in the name of your glorious Son, Jesus, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, who saw hardship and was misunderstood because people didn't recognize he wasn't just little Jesus, he was the Redeemer. People didn't recognize what was going on, that he had a gift that he had to take to the cross. May it never be about us, Lord. May it always be about you for your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name.
Thanks for tuning in. We hope this message has been a blessing to you. We'd love to help you further as you grow in Christ. May God bless you. Come out and visit us at Christian Life Center, 3409 South Grove, Berwyn, Illinois. Or check us out on the web, www.berwynag.org.